From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, anywhere from 30 to 50 vessels hunted a whale on the Kuskokwim River, but the animal turned out to be a gray whale, a species protected under federal law. And over in Dillingham, a group fishing for silver salmon harvested a beluga whale and shared it with the community. Also, partners in Ketchikan are working to bring fresh fish to elderly residents at the community long-term care unit. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs.
Controversy and legal questions surround the killing of a gray whale on the Kuskokwim River. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports.
When the whale appeared outside Nabuskiak, 60 river miles inland, people say they thought it was a beluga, which are legal for Alaska natives to hunt. Word quickly spread. 30 to 50 boats from Bethel and surrounding villages chased the whale for 90 minutes, shooting it with assault rifles and piercing it with seal harpoons.
Every time it would breathe, it would just spray blood everywhere. And I mean, there was blood everywhere.
Many who participated, including the man you're hearing, want to remain anonymous because of the controversy that flared after the whale died and sank because boaters did not have the equipment to land it. Opinions ranged on KYUK's airwaves the next day.
Not every animal that comes up the Kuskokwim River belongs to the Kuskokwim River.
It's a special gift of food, F-O-O-D, subsistence.
It took 2 days to drag the whale to shore, where villagers and friends butchered it and shared the meat and blubber. Federal officials are investigating. Gray whales are protected under federal law and international treaty. With help from Teresa Kotsarillis in Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans.
A beluga whale was harvested this past weekend near Dillingham. It was the whole hunting party's first time to take a beluga. KDLG's Avery Lill has the story.
Beluga blood mixed with water on the boat ramp by the Dillingham City Dock. A crowd hovered around Cade and Daryl Woods of Dillingham and Rebecca Ozina of Little Diomede as they cut the edible skin and blubber and put it in plastic totes. Frank Woods, Cade and Daryl's father, coached them.
Just cut, Daryl, cut along the last ribbon, leave it there. Follow it along. Cut it off.
The community showed up in force when Frank Woods announced their catch on the Dillingham Trading Post Facebook page. Lines of cars brought people with their totes and trash bags. The successful hunters shared their meat with everyone who came. It took about 2 hours to process the whole animal. Cade Woods said the three were out commercial fishing for silver salmon when they noticed a pod of belugas.
We noticed one was nosing up to the beach and trying to get salmon. So we went up right to it and fired one shot, missed, and got it with the next one.
In Bristol Bay, an average of 23 belugas are reported harvested each year. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the population of belugas in the bay is stable, and that number is well within a sustainable harvest size. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
In southeast Alaska, populations of some marine mammals like humpback whales and stellar sea lions are on the rise. Some subgroups of these species have recently been removed from the endangered species list, leaving many commercial fishermen wondering what this means for them. But as KFSK reporter Nora Sachs found out, it's still business as usual when it comes to dealing with protected marine mammals in southeast waters.
In early June, NOAA Fisheries representatives held a virtual community roundtable in Petersburg to update fishermen and the public on marine mammal policies and clear up any confusion. Ilaria Jensen is the deputy of Alaska's Protected Resources Division for the agency. She was visiting via Google Hangout.
One of the questions I know has been on people's minds is this pretty monumental change that happened last year for humpback whales.
Three different groups of humpbacks migrate to coastal Alaska. Last September, one was delisted, one was reclassified as threatened, and one from the western North Pacific remains endangered. It's a similar story with stellar sea lions. Two populations can be found in the area. One is endangered, and one isn't. Since it's impossible to tell these genetically distinct populations apart by sight, Jensen said they all have to be treated the same and afforded full protection under the Endangered Species Act.
So for you, essentially, that means business as usual. That's really the status quo of how we've been operating. Nothing is changing in terms of, you know, a vessel's behavior around a whale.
Sea lions can steal salmon from commercial nets or become a harbor nuisance, while whales can get tangled in nets and crab gear. There are devices like noisemakers, visual repellents, and exclusion barriers on the market intended to keep these animals away. But there's currently no list of agency-approved or prohibited deterrence methods to guide fishermen, which means there isn't a clear answer to the million-dollar question of whether or not fishermen can use deterrence to protect their gear and catch, or which ones. It's a situation which seemed to frustrate NOAA fisheries staff as much as fishermen. Alaria Jensen again.
We want to be able to help you avoid violations. We want a win-win. Nobody wants whales and gear in the same place. We have really looked to our national program to provide that guidance, and it certainly has been long in coming.
A draft list is in the works and should come out sometime next year. Even when the list is finalized, likely in 2019, it will only address the impact of each deterrent on marine mammals, not its effectiveness. NOAA Fisheries plans to hold listening sessions to gather more input from commercial fishermen, and a few stuck around to chat after the meeting. Gill netter Max Warhatch said he hasn't seen very many humpbacks so far this year, but when he does...
I got an aluminum boat, so I just take a stick and beat on the boat when I get close to the boat, and then it kind of, I think, humpbacks don't use echolocation, they just use their ears and their eyes, so it kind of makes them aware, and I've had minimal incidents with whales, so seems like it works for me.
For now, NOAA Fisheries representatives recommend avoiding marine mammals as much as possible and not doing anything that could cause more interactions, like dumping fish waste near boats. In Petersburg, I'm Nora Sachs.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family.
The Togiak District in Bristol Bay has edged past the bottom end of its escapement goal. The rule prohibiting fishermen to transfer to Togiak from other districts ended on July 27th. KDLG's Nick Shalino spoke with some fishermen and processors in the Togiak District.
A total run of more than 580,000 fish was counted for the Togiak District through Sunday, about 80,000 less than the forecast. The total harvest is also about 40,000 fish short of the 480,000 projected catch. The fishing effort in Togiak is reserved for the majority of the season to local residents.
Not the best, but I'm getting by with what I can get in the boat.
That's Joseph Andrews of the fishing vessel Lucy Joe. He says that while things have been on the slow side in Togiak, he's happy for the boats who participated in the record run to the Nooshiegak District.
I'm so glad some of these people are catching lots, quite a few. Our run of fish seem to disappear.
So today's the first day that boats from other districts can transfer over here. Are you seeing a lot of new boats?
No.
Or
no? Most of them, I heard they went up too much fish. Nooshiegak.
They caught enough in the Nooshiegak, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'm glad for them because sometimes it's very hard.
Peter Lookook of the fishing vessel Patrick Jason says the fish are also smaller in Togiak this year.
It's kind of surprising to see them fish were small compared to last year. When their nets are out, we get to see them fish go through our nets.
But others expect the effort to continue in Togiak. Fishing has lasted through August in past years to capitalize on a late silver run. Yarick Hanick is the plant manager at Copper River Seafood. He says he expects some fishermen will transfer to Togiak and adds Copper River will continue to buy fish into silver season.
There's a fisherman that's fishing for a different cannery, and some of them, they come and then they start fishing for us. So we don't really say no to anybody who fish for whoever else, you know, as long as it's from Togiak. So we don't really make rules, and I really do expect the effort from them.
ADF&G continues to leave the Togiak District open to commercial set and drift fishing on a Monday through Friday schedule. In Togiak, I'm Nick Shalino.
A new partnership between Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center and the Cedars Lodge aims to bring fresh, locally caught fish to seniors in Peace Health's New Horizons long-term care unit. KRBD's Emma Atkinson followed the fish from the water to the table and reeled in New Horizon residents' reactions to the menu change.
Edward Waterstrat started out as a law student in Chicago and ended up a fisherman in Ketchikan. He built his own boat and set out to study oceanography, and eventually the riches of the Pacific Ocean led him to harvest its fruits rather than study them.
The heck with going out and collecting mud samples, I went after tuna and king salmon.
Waterstrat's days on the high seas are over now. He lives in the long-term care unit of Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center. He points to several photographs pasted to the wall of his room.
I put it up there so everybody would know what a red snapper looked like. Those are a couple prize winners. That's an Alaska red snapper. It's actually called the official name for it is a Pacific rockfish.
This man knows his fish, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When he heard that Peace Health had partnered with Cedars Lodge to bring fresh, locally caught fish to residents of the long-term care facility, he was relieved.
I may have mentioned that I didn't care for the Bering Sea pollock.
Ashley Hackert, a dietitian with Peace Health, watches as Waterstrat tries the catch of the day, rockfish donated by Trident Seafoods. He sticks the fish with his fork, examining it. Then he takes a big bite. Everyone waits for his reaction, the room quiet.
It's just yummy. Got my mouth full here. It's very good.
Yeah.
Fresh. No complaints. And like I said, I'm the pickiest guy in the world when it comes to fish.
Hackert is part of the resident council at New Horizons. It's a panel of residents and hospital employees who work together to improve the long-term care unit. The council is where the idea for local fish donations originated, she says. A few of the residents, like Waterstrat, used to work in commercial fishing. Here's Hackert.
Absolutely. I can think of three or four off the top of my head that were local shoremen or fishermen in the past. And so, one of the biggest requests or things they asked me about was, you know, could we have some more salmon? Could we have some more halibut?
So Hackert reached out to Cedars Lodge, a lodge and resort in Ketchikan that also processes fish. The challenge, she says, was to find a way to safely process and receive donated fish. Cedars Lodge General Manager Russell Thomas says the lodge partnered with Ketchikan Pioneer Home a few years ago on a similar initiative, which Thomas describes as having been successful. He says he hopes the people of Ketchikan will seriously consider supporting the New Horizons program.
I mean, our hope is just that, you know, we'll get a lot of people who respond, that, you know, either people go out and donate some excess fish or that people will take a little out of what they might have taken home and be willing to donate it.
Back at the hospital, Hackert says the first fish lunch is a success.
I think everyone really enjoyed it today. I think it's getting all the pieces together was the hardest part, but mm-hmm. I think everyone was excited. And now that we have more donations coming in, I'm really excited to kind of see what's going to happen going forward.
Seniors at New Horizons may not be able to relive their days spent on the docks and the water, but they're still getting a taste of their past, literally. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Emma Atkinson.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KRBD's Emma Atkinson in Ketchikan, KDLG's Nick Shalino and Avery Lill in Dillingham, KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel, and KFSK's Nora Sachs in Petersburg. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.